I wish you wouldn't cry like that before I preach. You make me cry, and I'll be sucking snot in this microphone. These are they which have come out of great tribulations. How many of you know what tribulations are like? Problems, difficulties. Some of you have been through them. Some of you are in them right now. I just drove about 2,500 miles and had a lot of time to think. A lot of time, just me and the Lord in that truck. Never turned my radio on. That's my time. I was praying for you. Oftentimes, not the whole trip. I don't want to. And I don't need to preach tonight. I just need to remind you of a few things. The number one thing that you need to remember is how much the Lord loves you. And His love will never fail. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will go with you all the way to the very end. No matter what you go through, no matter what you're experiencing, maybe it's the loss of a loved one or a spouse or some sickness or disease, or maybe it's financial issues, or maybe it's relational issues, or and the list goes on and on and on. But regardless of where you're at, regardless of what you're faced with, do not forget the love of God that He has for you. And He's promised this, that He will make a way out. Sister Jackie, He don't want us to pitch our tent in that wilderness. He wants us to go through. And He will lead us through and bring us through to the other side. And when we come out, we'll have a testimony because of the test. Remember, where there's no test, there's no testimony. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you out of Luke, the 4th chapter, for just a few moments. Now, before I read, I want to point out that earlier in this passage of Scripture, in the chapter, Jesus had, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. The devil came to Him, and he tempted Him multiple times. Jesus withstood him with the word of God. And then we find in verse 14, I'll actually start at 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. See, when you've gone through a battle, when you've gone through a struggle, when you've gone through an issue, the Lord has brought you through. Praise, be thankful, worship God. Rejoice in the victory, but be on guard, because at the end of that season, the devil's coming back. You see, the devil will come again at the cross. He departed for a season. Verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him throughout all the region round about. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, don't miss that line, as His custom was, He was in the habit of, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor, hath sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of our Lord." And when He closed the book, and He gave it again unto the minister, and he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. You see, Israel, the Jews, they'd been looking for a Messiah. They'd been looking for the anointed one. They'd been looking for the Christ. They'd been looking for a redeemer. They'd been looking for a king. They'd been looking for a conqueror. They'd been looking for a victor. And they were all studied in the scrolls and the writings of the time that pertained to the coming of that Messiah, that anointed one. And can't you see the picture? He stands and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And he tells what he's going to do, what he's come to do. And at the end he says, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. I'm him. Look no further. This is it." You've heard me say many times before, everywhere we look in the Bible from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelations, if we don't see Jesus, we've missed the message. In fact, I preached a sermon some years ago, the entire Bible in 5 two-worded statements. It's actually the first sermon that I can remember that God gave me, and I knew God gave me. It wasn't something I thought up or dreamed up or conjured up or studied up because I wasn't smart enough to do it, and I'm still not. But this is what it is. The Old Testament all talks about the coming of this Messiah, and we read many miracles there, the parting of the Red Sea, Daniel in the lion's den, and the stories go on and on, but the central theme of the Old Testament is, he comes. Thank you, Mama. The four Gospels, they all talk about the virgin birth, but they spend more time vividly depicting he dies. The book of Acts, he lives. The epistles, he saves. The book of Revelations, he reigns. He who? Jesus. He just said in this passage we read, I'm the one, I'm he, it's fulfilled today in your hearing. And we need to remember that because this is what he's come to do. And one of these is going to be applicable to the situation that you find yourself in right now. We need to remember that contrary to the beliefs of some and even the teachings of some, God is not standing up there with a baseball bat ready to knock your lights out every time you mess up. Right now he says, I have not come to judge the world at this time. He will judge, but I've come to seek and save that which is lost. He said, I've come to destroy the work of the evil one. I've come to tend to my Father's business. I've come to make things right. Now let's look at them for just a moment. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me. You've got to understand that word anointed. You see, we hear, we sing about the anointing, and we sense and we feel and we know when the anointing of God is present in the room. The anointing is simply the supernatural empowering of God upon man, beast, or things to accomplish that which otherwise would be impossible to accomplish. It comes upon man, such as little David, a little boy, goes out, defeats an undefeated Philistine champion. Samson, with his bare hands, destroys lions and bears and mighty men of armor. With a jawbone of a donkey, slew 1,000 men. That was because of the anointing of God that would come upon him. The anointing of God would come upon beasts. He made a donkey talk to Balaam. Please don't ever let my horse talk to me. His anointing comes upon things. You remember where brother had borrowed an axe and was hewing some logs, and he dropped that axe in the water. And unlike today's times, when back then when people borrowed something, they always brought it back in at least as good a shape. First of all, they brought it back. but then they brought it back in at least as good a shape as it was when they took it, if not better. He's upset. He's concerned. He's dropped his friend's axe in the water. There wasn't a Walmart on every corner back then. So he said to the prophet Elijah, right there is where I dropped it. Elijah took a stick, stuck it in the water. The axe swam. The anointing of God. See, it's the anointing that breaks yokes. It's the anointing that sets people free. It's the anointing that is the supernatural empowering of God. It's the God putting his super on our natural so that we can do things in and otherwise we could not do. So first of all, we have to realize he's anointed. He's empowered to do what he's fixing the list that he came to do. First thing is to preach the gospel to the poor. The gospel is, as you've heard it said many times, it's the good news. There's hope. There's salvation. There's good news. You don't have to walk around in the ho-hums and the mully grubs, and you don't have to have a que-sera-sera mentality like so many people go through life. I get so tired of people that don't understand that we're creatures of choice. And that our life, we're byproducts of the choices that we've made. Good, bad, indifferent, whatever. God did not cut us out of a cookie cutter. This one's going to hell, that one's going to heaven, that's going to, well, there's a bunch of them going to hell, and there's a few of them going to heaven. He didn't do that. He gave us the ability to choose life, death. He gave us the ability to do drugs, not do drugs, to get married, to stay single. He gave us the ability to be lazy or to work. And I don't have the foggiest idea where I was going with that. But I've got good news. There's hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost. Secondly, it says that he's come to heal the brokenhearted. Those whose dreams have been shattered and their unrealized expectations. Those whose relationships have dissolved and fallen apart. I see people almost weekly that come into the office that they're either about to get a divorce, they've gone through a divorce, and they're crushed. Pain. The Lord is present during the darkest hours when you feel you can be in a room full of people and still be alone. He's come for the brokenhearted. Thirdly, he's come to preach deliverance to the captives. That's the addicted. Matters not what the addiction. Sex, drugs, booze, alcohol, gambling, eating too much. He's come to set at liberty those that are captive. I understand addictions. Had one, had two, had a bunch of them. I had tried to quit smoking, quit drinking, quit lying. Never was a thief, praise God. I got real good at lying. I was so good I could convince myself I was telling the truth. I know what it's like to not like the life that you're living, but you can't help it because of the addiction that you have. It's a monster within that's dragging you down a road and a path that you really don't want to go. My brother and I have talked about this several times, how over the years we'd just be sitting in a club somewhere, a nightclub, and be going, I don't belong here. But yet, because of the control that alcohol had on me, I couldn't not go there, in spite of my best efforts to not go. And I'm going to be very transparent and honest with you today, and I'm not throwing any rocks at any of you, okay? But if you knew how many people come in and talk to me about an addiction to internet pornography, and how they don't want it, but they can't quit it. I want you to know the Word of God says that Jesus came to set the captives free. You can be that chain, that bondage, that weight, that sin can be broken and lifted off of you, and you can walk a free man, because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He's still in the miracle working business. He still has your best interest at heart, and that's what he's come to do. But he's looking for someone that will reach out to him and call upon him so that he can show them great and mighty things. Don't run from God, run to him. Watch him work. Fourthly, says that he's come to preach the recovering of sight to the blind. This is both spiritually and physically. You know, we sometimes get so frustrated with people. I know, I've been there. We get so frustrated with people when we're trying to tell them or show them the right way. Let me remind you of scripture that says this. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, nor can he, for they're spiritually discerned. That's why it's important that you don't try to beat people up with the word of God, and that you don't try to beat them up with what you want when you want it. Although you may have a good intention, it's important that we learn to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, because there's a time to talk and there's a time to be quiet. There's a time to witness and there's a time to just pray. There's a time to laugh, a time to cry. Y'all know that scripture, there's a time for all things. Maybe you've been trying to force feed instead of waiting on the timing of God, because no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. But I promise you, if you've fasted, if you've prayed, if you've stood in the gap, I promise you there will come a time when the Holy Spirit will deal with that person's heart and will begin to try to draw them to Christ. Now, they'll have a decision to make. They'll have a choice to make. But the Holy Spirit will draw them to that place. That he'll give them sight. He'll give them spiritual sight. And then also the physical part of it. He bore stripes on his back for our physical healing. I'm thankful for doctors. I'm thankful for medicine and technology. I'm thankful for all that they can do for us. But they're just practicing physicians. He's the great physician. And he can touch you. The healing virtue can flow and you can be healed. Am I telling the truth? Shout something. Amen. Lady right here, free of cancer. There are others in here. You've been touched by the healing power of God, because the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous had gone up before you and you've been healed. And he'll do it again. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Sometimes in life, we just get beat up. We just get bunged up. We get tired. We get wore out. We're pulled out from so many directions, so much stuff going on, and we get entangled with the cares of life, and we let that cause us to not have that intimate, personal time with God on a daily basis where we can keep our spiritual battery charged. And I want you to know firsthand from experience, there is a direct correlation between physical fatigue and your spiritual man. Let me try that over here. There's a direct correlation between your physical man and your spiritual man. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we just get so wore out, we've not made time. And I know Glenda's pointing her finger at me. I'm guilty. I've got to start making some time to rest. And when I do, please don't fire me. Because I've got to get away from time to time to seek God, be refreshed, be restored, to get direction and insight so that I can feed the sheep. And I want to ask you, I don't know if I've ever asked, I want to ask you to pray for that man and me and Duke and Robin and Josh every day. We need it. We almost kill each other every day up here. No, not really. I'm so thankful for the staff that God has given us up here. But yet, you know, I heard it said one time, ministry would be fun if it wasn't for people. No, don't take that personal. We're here because God's placed us here. We care about you, and we want to be involved in whatever you got going on in your life if you want us to, but we'll never force ourselves. And I want to encourage you to pray for us. We need your prayers. You've been bruised by life, got sore spots. Then he went on to say, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. There's no time like now. No time like now. Would you just bow your heads real quickly? And I want to just throw a challenge or two out there at you tonight. You say you're here and you're in the middle of those persecutions, that tribulations that Skeeter sang about, and you need prayer. Would you just raise your hand, slip it up, slip it right back down? Anyone? Yes, yes, yes. Many of you. Many of you. Maybe you're here tonight, and you'd say, Dennis, I'm lost and on my way to hell. I'm a sinner. And I need to ask the Lord to forgive me and come into my life. I need to accept the work that he did for me on Calvary's tree. I need to be a child of God. I need to be born again and to be a Christian. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Anyone, anywhere? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Others, quickly slip it up. Yes, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? This is your moment. This is your time. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Very quickly. You're not in a place with the Lord where you need to be, and tonight you need to make things right. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anyone else? Very quickly. Slip it up. Slip it right back down. Thank you, ma'am. Perhaps you're here and you'd say, Dennis, I'm a prodigal son or daughter that I once walked with God, and I've been living in a pig pen, and I need to come home and make a new commitment to him tonight. If that's you, would you just shoot that hand up real quick, slip it right back down? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Very quickly. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you in the balcony. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, Dennis, I'm one of those that's in bondage. I have an addiction, and I'm tired of living with it. I really want to give it to the Lord tonight and ask him to do a miracle in my life. And I mean it. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up, slip it right back down? Anyone? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Quickly, slip it up. So we're going to pray and believe God to do a miracle right where you sit. Anyone else? Quickly, just slip it up. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I believe in the delivering power of God. Anyone else? Very quickly. I hadn't felt the Lord let me move on yet. Anyone else? This is your moment. Thank you. Thank you. You say, Dennis, I'm just emotionally wounded and bruised from past relationships, and I've tried and I've struggled, and I just can't seem to get beyond it. I need the healing virtue of God to heal me tonight. I've been in that relationship with my emotions. Anyone that is you, slip it up, slip it right back down. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Look up here at me for just a moment. I'm not the healer. I'm not the deliverer. I'm not the Savior. But Jesus is. I know a man who can. And he wants to. And I believe we're going to hear testimonies from some of you, if not all of you, for miracles tonight, because we're about to ask God to supernaturally intervene in your situation. But for those of you that raised your hand for salvation, I want to be sure you understand how to be saved. Joining a church is good, but that don't save you. There's only one way to be saved. Is that if we accept the work of Jesus on Calvary's cross. We believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If we believe Jesus to be the Son of God that came to this earth, lived a sinless life, died in our place on that cross so that we could live, so that he could give us the gift of life. Didn't stay dead. He walks out of a tomb Easter Sunday morning, conquering death, hell, and the grave, demonstrating his ability to give you life. The Bible says that if we believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that we're saved. Don't miss that confess with our mouth part. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's important that you pray audibly. You ask God, and you're about to be cleansed and redeemed and set in right relationship with the Lord. Right now, let's all pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I do believe you're God's Son that loved me enough to die in my place so that I could live. I believe you walked out of that grave Easter morning and that you're alive today. And you're coming back to this earth to get your children one day. And so now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sin, to cleanse me with your blood, to come into my life and save me. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to learn your voice and to know your ways so that I can enjoy life and be pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head still bowed. Lord, you saw many hands lifted in this place for emotional wounds that God, these people understand that life and death is in the power of the tongue. They've been hurt. They've been wounded. And tonight, Lord, we know that time heals nothing, that only you are the healer. We ask you to heal their emotions and, Lord, to restore their confidence in mankind and mostly in you. I speak your peace into their life and into their circumstance and situation. Heal and do a miracle there. Lord, for those that have raised their hand tonight for physical healing, we know that you didn't bear those stripes on your back for nothing. You took that whipping so we could be healed. And so, Lord, we pray tonight that your healing balm of Gilead would flow from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet of every person that raised their hand needing a touch. Let healing flow. Lord, do it in a way that no man can take credit, but every individual know that you touched them and healed them and made them whole. Lord, for these that have raised their hand tonight, many for addictions of all different types, you came to set at liberty those that are bound. And God, tonight we ask you. They've said by the show of their hand, they want to lay it at your feet. They want to be set free. And God, tonight, regardless of what it is, you've got the power and the desire to set them free. We curse those chains. We bind the strong man. We take authority in the name of Jesus. And we ask you for a miracle tonight. Alcohol, drugs, sexual addictions, pills, pornography. Lord, I ask you to remove that claw that's in their mind and set them free, we'll be sure to say thank you and to give you praise and to give you glory for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.